Hey, if you have a Bible this morning, let's see your Bibles. Word. Amen. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. If you're a visitor, my name is Miles, and last week I mentioned that we were going to talk today about how to be blessed. How many of you, raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Amen. All of us want to be blessed, okay? I'm going to be preaching, the title of my message is The Prayer of Jabez, and this little book, see this little book right here? This little book is called The Prayer of Jabez, and this is all I'm preaching, is what's in this book, and my interpretation of it, and we have 1,000 of these books for you to get this morning when you leave. You can go into the Rock Pile store, or you can go straight out. And there's tables out there that just have these books. If you don't want to stand in line in the Rock Pile store to get one of these books. But I highly encourage you to get this little book. It will change your life. When I was at the CBA, Christian Booksellers Association, where all the Christian bookstores and all the writers, and there was thousands of people. And someone gave this book to me. They said, you have to read this book. It's called The J-Buzz, because everybody was buzzing about it. But I want to encourage you, what I have to say is not going to do justice to what God can do in your life if you get this little book. But I promise you, it will change your life. I promise you it will change your life. And my life has radically changed since I've been reading this book. But let's pray, because I want all of us to have our hearts ready for what God would say to us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I thank you that you want to bless us. I thank you that you want to bless us. And I thank you that it is biblical to ask you to bless us. But I pray we ask you with the right attitude, with the right purpose, with the right motive. Lord, I pray that all of us this week would be blessed in so much incredible ways that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt it was you. That our lives would change and never be the same. That we would pray this every day for the rest of our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First Chronicles. Now, how many of you have ever read through the Bible and you see genealogies where it says Abraham begot this guy, and this guy begot this guy, and this guy begot this guy, and this guy begot this guy, and it goes on and on and on and on forever, and you wonder, why is it in there? Anybody ever read that stuff? Matter of fact, you don't even read it. You skip over it, right? Okay? Well, in First Chronicles, for 9 chapters, it's nothing but name after name after name after name after name after name. Now, there's a lot of reasons why God put that in the Bible. God never wastes time by putting words in the Bible for no reason. One of the reasons is so we could trace people's family to see who's related to who. So people just don't come out of nowhere and they're just in the Bible. The other reason, it helps you see how long things took and how far away generations go. But in this verse we're going to look at, 2 verses, Jabez is one of these kids. They say, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot Jabez, and then Jabez prays a prayer. One sentence, two sentences, one sentence. And his prayer is all it says about Jabez, and then it keeps going. We're going to look at that prayer. That's what this book is about, that prayer. Okay, let's look at it. Chapter 4, verse 9. Look what it says. Let's look at verse 8, just for verse 7, just for sake. The sons of Heli were Zereth, Zohar, and Ethnan, and Kaz begot Anud, and Zebabah, and the families of Elabah, and the son of Hobabah. Okay, it just goes on and on. You're reading this. I don't know these people. We don't know anything about these people. But then in verse 9 it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Okay? And Jabez called on the name of the Lord, the name of God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Listen to what he said. This is what I'm going to challenge you to pray every day for the rest of your life. Very simple. Look what it says. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, or bless me a lot. It's okay. Ask God to bless you a lot. And enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not cause pain. And look what it says right after that. God granted him what he requested. Amen. God gave it to him. Now, listen. I don't care anything about your life right now, okay? Forget your life from this point forward. All I want you to think about is from this forward backward. From right here to the rest of your life, this needs to be your prayer. God bless me. We're going to look at that. Look what it says in verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than all his brothers. Now, that doesn't seem right. Why would one guy be more honorable than another guy? You know what? I want to be more honorable than all y'all. And you should be want to be more honorable than me. What does that mean? Is that if you took a group of people, and it's true here this morning, some of y'all are here because you really want God, and some of y'all could care less about God. You're here because you're putting in time. Though y'all that are here because you really want God, you are more honorable to God than those of you that don't. It doesn't mean he loves you less, but it means that he looks at you different. What does that mean? Is that he can entrust you with more. That's what the Bible says. Jabez, he was honorable because what? The Bible says he delighted himself in the Lord, the Bible says, and will give you the desires of your heart. The Bible says in Philippians 3, Paul says about being godly. Paul says, I don't count myself as being godly or having achieved what God has called in my life. But Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ. In other words, Paul, the apostle, says, I'm not there yet, but you know what? I'm pressing. I don't know if you guys are watching the Olympics. As a kid, the Olympics were like one of the most amazing things on TV for me. So every Olympics, I'm like, you know, wanting to see, especially the track and field. And I was watching Marion Jones run. Y'all know who Marion Jones is, fastest woman in the world. If for all of y'all who are, 30s and 40s and older, when we were kids, the fastest people in the world were running 900s, give or take. That's how fast this woman is running. She's running as fast as the men were 20 years ago. That's how fast she is. And then the guys are running 800-900 yards because it's down to run 100 meters. That's how fast. It's ridiculous. But my point is that when she was running, she came out of blocks, and it's 100 meters. And she's like, and the head is down, and she's pressing to win. That's what Paul says. I'm pressing. I don't know if you watch this swimming. The women relays and the guy relays, and they're pressing, doing the butterfly, the freestyle, the breaststroke, the backstroke, the side stroke. Okay? They're pressing. Paul says here, I'm not thinking about you. I'm not thinking about you. I'm thinking about him. I want to get to him. That's being more honorable. So question number one is, you got to decide, are you more honorable than you were yesterday? Not to compare yourself to people. I don't want to compare myself to you. But are you more honorable than you were yesterday? Do you really want God? Because if you really want things, we're not talking about that. We're talking about wanting God, okay? The Bible says in James 4:6, God resists the proud, gives them the Heisman, but he gives grace to the humble, okay? So there's a difference. You have to decide, I want to be part of the humble. Next thing it says, in verse 9, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, my son was born, my wife was in labor 49 hours, and his head, his dome, his cranium, his rock was stuck for 5 hours. Now, when that brother came out, my wife was spanking him. Doctor didn't have to hit him. She was like, bap, bap, bap. Luckily, we didn't name him based on that experience. Okay? This mother named her son Jabez because of a negative memory. That's not good. What does God think about when he hears your name? Let's think about that for a minute. Did he think of something good? Does he think, that's my faithful servant? That's my faithful servant-ess? They read the Bible. They pray, they trust me, or, Oh, hey, they're praying again. There they go, asking for stuff. They ain't going to do what I tell them. There they go to church. It's Easter. It must be Easter. They're in church again. What is your name? When people think of your name, what do they think? Well, you can make a decision that from this point forward, your name is a good thing. Now, doesn't mean everyone's going to like you, but they're going to think that you are connected to God, that you trust God. And what your name becomes by the time you die, the best influence for that name to be a positive thing is that God's blessings on your life. That supernatural stuff. What Jabez decided was, I don't want my name to be a negative thing. I want my name to be a positive thing. Therefore, God, I need you to intervene. God has to intervene in our life for us to be good. Okay? God has to do something in our life because our problems and our sin is that bad. So look what he says. Verse 10 says, he prayed to the God of Israel. First thing he says is, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Now, when people sneeze, we say, God bless you. Why? Now, some people think that when you sneeze, your heart stops, and because you're not dead, God blessed you because he kept you alive. I don't know about all that stuff. It really has to do with a superstition that when you sneeze, that this demon's not going in your soul, and it's kind of a superstition that had nothing to do with God, okay? But we say it anyway. But what does it mean to be blessed? What it means to be blessed is that God's unlimited favor or goodness would be showered on your life. That God would do for you what you can't do for yourself. You're not saying, God, give me more money, even though you can ask God anything you want. Give me more cars. Give me a woman, a man. Give me a house. Give me a raise. You can ask God anything you want, but we're not talking about that. We're just saying, God, bless me. Whatever you want to give according to your power and your riches in your timing, through ever who you want, wherever, I want that. I want that. Here's why. Because God has nothing bad to give you. And what God, the goodness that God has to give you is better than what man or woe man can give you. You have to understand that. That what I can give you, this person and that person, whatever they can give you is nothing compared to what God can give you. So what you're saying is, God, bless me. Just hook me up with whatever you want to hook me up with. There's a verse in the Bible, Ephesians 1:3, and I'm going to read it to you, but you can write it if you're taking notes. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at what it says. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The Bible says. The Bible says that I and you and you and you and you, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Well, how come you're not experiencing it? One reason, you ain't asking for it. Two, you're not believing that you got it. You're not believing it, and by faith, you're not accessing all the blessings. The Bible says that every spiritual blessing, all his power, his gifts, his tools, his weapons, his abilities, supernatural abilities, discernment, wisdom, knowledge, presence of the Holy Spirit, presence of angels, assistance of angels, all the blessings, and believe me, I don't even know what they are. All that is you have access to. It's right here. There's no secret. It's right here. And so what Jabez is saying, I want it. I want it. And God, not only do I want it, I'm going to look for it. And when it happens, I'm going to know it's you because when I get it, it's going to be something that I can't get for myself. You have to ask God to give you something you can't get for yourself, to do in your life what you can't do for yourself, to give you wisdom and knowledge and power and opportunity that you can't get for yourself. That's how you're going to walk by faith, and that's how he's going to be honored, and that's how his kingdom's going to be built. He's not going to be built by using your knowledge, your wisdom, your resources. It's his. So Jabez says, bless me. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:22, the Lord's blessing or provision, his supernatural favor is our greatest wealth. The greatest thing you have is God's blessing. You can have no money, and live like a millionaire. I don't know if you ever experienced that before. You could have no money and live like a millionaire because God owns the money. If God wants you to go on a trip, he'll take you on a trip. We went to Israel 2 years ago. I went to Israel with a group of people, and one of the people that went with us, I can't say his name, we'll just say Johnny to protect the guilty. And Johnny had long hair down like to here, hippie looking beard, and he was dressed real bummy, but he was, you know, sandals on, and he was going with us, and we went to LA, and we had to go through security at El Al Airport. And when you go through security, the Israeli security, they don't mess around because terrorism is a real thing to them. And so they come up to you and they look at your passport and they look at your ID, and there's like two or three of them, and they interrogate you very kindly, like, what is your name? You know, where are you going? How did you pay for it? And everyone told me, Miles, when you go talk to these people, don't play around because they ain't playing around. So first thing I'm thinking, I'm playing around, okay? I'm going to make these people laugh. So they come up to you and they're looking at your ID and they don't smile, they don't conversate, just like, what's your name? Where do you live? Where are you going? They're looking at your thing, picture. And there's three of them, so they're asking you these questions, trying to confuse you. This guy asks, what's your name? Where you live? And you're going, bam, bam, my name is this, I live here, my name is this, I live here, my name is, and they try to catch you in a lie. So this guy, Johnny, goes up and he's got the hair, the beard, and, you know, he looks different to them. And they go, you know, what's your name? He says, the name, where you from? And they go, who paid for your ticket? And he says, God. security. They literally took him in the back, went through all his bags. He was gone. We didn't think we'd ever see him again. He had no money. God paid for his ticket, sent him to Israel, and he came back. You know, when God blesses you, all of a sudden, all the things you can do start happening according to his loving kindness, according to his plan, according to his design for your life, his purpose for your life. But if you never ask him, and if you never give him the freedom to bless you his way with his power, according to his wisdom, guess what? It won't happen. And when it does, you won't even notice it. You'll be thinking it's a coincidence. Don't ever use the word coincidence in God's presence. God don't work in coincidences. He don't happen to make, oh, look what happened, angels. These two people. No. God, look what the Bible says. Let me read this to you. Ephesians 3:20. Write this verse down. Ephesians 3:20. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. It says, now to him, God, who is able to do, everybody say exceedingly. Say exceedingly. Say abundantly. It says, to him who was able to do, watch this, exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. You know what that means? That if you can sit down and go, okay, God, I'm imagining some big stuff. He goes, it's nothing. I can do that in my sleep. It's nothing. He says, I could do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ever ask for. So don't limit God and ask for this. Say, God, you know what? It'd be cool if I got this. But you know what? Whatever you want. Whatever you want. I talked to you, we've been talking about this building. And hopefully this week we're going to talk to the owner of this property. We have to pray this prayer for that building. God, do exceedingly abundantly. Bless us, enlarge our territory. Because, you know, it's got to be him. We don't want to force it. It's got to be him. So this Bible, the verse says in Ephesians 3:20, to him who could do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. That means your mind is so small compared to God. It's so limited. And God says, listen, don't limit what you ask for from me based on what you think. Just ask me to bless you. Ask me to bless you big. Ask me to bless you according to my power, my wisdom. And don't even put a figure on it. Don't even put a name on it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. But say, God, just go. Do your thing. I just want to be here when it happens. Dream, God. I'm ready. Dream. And that's what he's telling these people. He says, dream. Dream that God would give you a vision. Some of you have no vision. Church is going to be born again, and God never answers my prayer, and he never talks to me, and so why have asked? Pray that you would hear God. Pray that you would see God. I have two daughters and a son. And my daughters, when my daughter was probably four, I have this video. We have this video of them in the living room. And my oldest daughter is a ballerina. Even now, she's a ballerina. But when she was a kid, she used to always dance around. We had to work on that rhythm thing, but that was, you know, I just kind of assumed it was because she was young. But she still hasn't grown out of it, you know what I'm saying? So she used to dance around. We got this video of her dancing in the living room. She's dancing around. And standing behind her is my other daughter, leaning on the couch. And she's saying, "I can't hear it, Daddy. I can't hear it. I can't hear it." So that's our thing. For the rest of our life, that's going to be something we always say to her. Because she goes, "I can't hear it." And we're trying to think, what is she saying? And she's saying, "I can't hear it. I can't hear it, Daddy." And what she's saying is that there must be music playing because she's dancing. She's like, "I can't hear the music." You know, it really shows she was thinking. You know what I'm saying? It was really smart. She's thinking, "I don't get it. How?" And by the door, just dancing around, you know, dancing around. You know, if y'all who know my kids, if you see my middle daughter, just say, "I can't hear it." And she'll start. You know what? There are people you watch every day, and they seem to be hearing voices. They seem to be seeing stuff God's way. They seem to be seeing life from a different perspective. They seem to react to things differently. And you wonder, how do they do that? Where do they get that faith? Where do they get that peace? Where do they get that wisdom? How is it that they trust God? How is it that they see God? "I can't hear it, but I want to hear it. I want to see life the way they see it. I don't want to live life based on my brain or my eyes or my ears or my wisdom. I don't want to even live faith based on man's wisdom, even though God uses man to give me wisdom. I want to live based on what God says." So if I walk into a situation and I go, "God, what do you want to do here?" He goes, "I want you to see this." So this building I keep talking about that one day hopefully you'll see, it's toe up. It's nasty. Okay? It's been closed. It's nasty. God says, "Watch this." He just shows what it could be. He says, "I'm going to show you what I see. You want to see things God's way. So you want to say, 'God, bless me with a mind that I could see things your way. Bless me with a mind that I can think like you, that I can forgive like you, that I can love like you, that I can encourage people like you, that I can be patient with people like you. Bless me with that. Lord, I just want to be like you. So just change me." Ask God. Okay? So first you got to ask God to bless you. Look what it says after that. It says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed a lot and enlarge my territory." Now, we're talking about a guy who, back in those days, land and the ability to raise cattle and farm was their wealth. This guy says, "Lord, give me more space so I can spread out." In other words, for us, "God, don't put my life and my ministry and my influence in a little corner. I don't want to have little significance or little influence, or I just don't want to be limited to these people." Because I started out being a speaker to youth, people would say, "Well, he's a youth speaker." And because I'm black, they would say, "Well, he speaks to inner city kids." They always want to put you in a little box, okay? No. I talk to all people, all ages, all shades. It don't matter. Lord, don't put me in a little box, even though man wants to put you in a little box. I went to a very small college, University of New Haven, and when I was coming out of college, my coach, I was drafted to the Rams, and my coach told me that when you get cut four times, because my coach was cut four times, he says, "Quit." My other coach said, "You're too small, you're too slow, you're too short." What they did is they put you in a little box. I said, no. My vision is bigger than that. I'm making the team, and I ain't ever talking to you again. You have to say, "God, give me opportunity. When we talk about a building, we have this room one day a week. We can't, if we want to do ministry on Wednesday, we got to rent this place all over again. What happens when you get a building for a church, guess what? It enlarges your territory and your opportunities to do ministry 7 days a week, to feed people 7 days a week, to have clothes and to have meetings and to do ministry and have Bible studies every day. Lord, give us more opportunity. Don't put us in a little corner and say, okay, you only got from midnight on Saturday night to midnight on Sunday. That's all you can do. And every time you want, I got to go over here to this building. I go over here. No, God, give me more space. Give me more room. And now people can come every day, morning, noon, and night. There's a church in Atlanta, and I just heard a story this week, and there are migrant workers in this neighborhood in Atlanta that were meeting on this corner to get picked up. They're waiting on this corner to get picked up, and all the merchants kicked them out because they didn't want them in their area. So this church, they own a building. They went to these migrant workers and says, you can meet at our church, and you can wait there, and you can get picked up there. So what they started to do? They started, there's someone in the church that gets there at 4:30 in the morning and sets up coffee and donuts and juice, and all these guys come there, and they get ministered to, and they minister to them, and now they're starting a service for them. You know what? God enlarged their borders, their influence, just like that. Just because someone just thought Christian, what would be the Christian thing to do? Is to love them. Increase our borders. So when we start talking about getting a building, now all of a sudden your borders have increased and your opportunities to influence. I spoke at this thing Thursday in Vista. It was for the interfaith meeting. They were talking about how to minister to the social needs of the community, da-da-da-da-da. And I was one of the speakers to give a little 10-minute opinion about how we can minister to poor people and da-da-da-da. And it was mostly older people in the audience and mostly lay people, not pastors. And after it was over, not after it was over, at the end of it, Victory Outreach, who is a ministry that ministers to down-and-out people. You want to do ministry to people who have been in gangs, who have been in prison, who have been on heroin, go visit a Victory Outreach church, and we minister with them every year, all the time. But they came, and they shared a testimony. What they did was they had three gang members do a little skit, and what it was like a two-minute skit, they came out and two gang members were talking, and this other guy comes on the stage, and they start yelling at him, and he pulls out a gun, and then they freeze. Then a prostitute, a real former prostitute, comes out, and she's acting like she's on the corner. Her pimp comes, asks her for some money. She doesn't have enough money, and he goes to hit her, and they freeze. Then a mom comes out with her two little kids. She's on the phone complaining about her kids, how she can't take it, and you know she's on heroin, da-da-da, and social services comes and gets ready to take her kids, and they grab the kids, and then they freeze. So you have these three groups frozen on the stage. And then one from each group comes up to the mic and says, that's how I used to live. Now I'm saved. I don't do that anymore. Prostitute came up. I used to sell my body. I don't do that anymore. The mom came up. I used to be on heroin. And I'm not taking care of my kids. And I'm standing in the back going, God, I want to do that. I want to help those people. Now, that's what I want to do. I want to increase influence, border. You need to pray that for your life. Lord, am I having an impact on the people around me? Am I helping the person who works next to me in my job? Am I helping my boss? Am I helping the person who don't like me? Or you just go to work in your little tunnel. You don't want anyone to know you're saved. You're not going to share anybody. You're not going to pray for anybody. You ain't going to lead anybody to the Lord. And God forbid, have your Bible on your desk. And you're going to go do your work and get out of there. And go, oh, okay, I'm with my Christians down. No. God, increase my influence. Make my light shine so bright that instead of just shining a little circle around me, I want it to shine out the whole room. And you know how you could do that? Go up to somebody this week and say to them, how can I help you? Just anybody, how can I help you? You need some help? What can I do for you? I don't know you. Get out of my face. No, for real. Let me help you. What can I do? You need a ride. You need me to pray for you. What you want? What can I do for you? Can I pray for you? No. I want you to get out of my face. Okay, God bless you. I'm going to pray for you anyway. Nah, can't do anything about it. Go to the next person. But you know what? You start asking people in your family, start asking your friends, your teachers, all y'all, go to school, ask people in your class, how can I help you? How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Guess what? Your ministry starts to expand. You start to change. God starts to open up how he can use you in amazing ways. God, I don't want my influence to be in a little tiny box. When I was at Horizon, I started ministry in my house before I was on staff. And I had one kid in my house, then two, then three, then 30. And then I got on staff, and I said, I want to start a Sunday morning ministry for the high school kids at Horizon. I was told by a pastor, it won't work. I said, you got to be kidding me, man. Get out of here. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Well, we did it, and it worked big. Then we did Wednesday and Monday night, and God blessed it. But every time I was in a room, I was looking at the bigger room. I was in a little room called 208. It held about, 200 people. We filled that. I said, I want to go into the auditorium. Then we went to that, and I said, I want to go to the gym. You know what I'm saying? Then now I want to do two services. And so what happened was, I said, God, give me more room so more people can get saved, so more people can change. That's why I'm praying for the building. More room so we can invite more people, more parking lots, more cars. Oh, well, if one person gets saved. No, we don't want just one person to get saved. When we do these crusades, people say, well, if one child gets saved, it'll be all worth it. I'm like, no. We're paying $250,000 a year. And it ain't for one kid, buddy. I'm sorry. It ain't for one kid. Now, I'm not saying one life is not worth that. But I ain't doing that for one kid. There ain't no way. I'm going, God, we can just get one kid saved. I'm like, God, thousands. I can get one kid saved walking down the street. Done. Deal. Nobody, it won't cost anybody anything. No one's got to fly anywhere. I don't got to worry about this. It's like, yo, man, you want to get saved? Boom. Thank you very much. He says, listen, God, we want to enlarge. And you know what God's going to say? God's, and some of y'all are going to say enlarge my territory. The thing about it is that when you ask God to bless you, you can be specific. But this particular prayer I'm talking about, every time you're specific, the good thing about being specific is God knows your heart. The bad thing about not leaving it open-ended is that you can say, God, this is all I want. God says, but I want to give you more. Can I give you more? No, God, I just want this. Okay, there you go. I wanted to give you all this, but no, you didn't have the faith for that. You know what he says? Enlarge my territory. I want to help everybody. In church growth, they tell you that you have to be real focused on who you help and who you target for your church. And when we did our Rockhead training, our target is anybody who's not saved. That's who our target is. It don't matter if they're rich or poor, black or white, Hispanic, Asian, if they're educated or not educated, if they dress good or don't dress good. It don't matter. If they're not saved, that's who we want to get. And when you ask God to bless you and you ask God to enlarge your territory, you have to ask him according to his power, his plan. That's why you got to be in constant prayer. God, what do you want? And God's not always going to tell you. He never tells me everything. He just points me in a direction and says, go over there and I'll start to give you little hints. I'm like, really? Really? Nah, over here now. Oh, man, I was looking good over there. He goes, over here, look at that. And I'm like, okay, God, get. He's like, and he just keeps leading you down by faith. Look what he says. It says in verse 10, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And then look what it says, that your hand, everybody say hand. Say hand. That your hand would be with me. Now, someone's hands represents their strength and power. Excuse me. Their ability to do work. God's hand can be with you or against you. The Bible says that his hand, I read it to you, Deuteronomy 2:15, the Lord was, indeed the hand of the Lord was against them. You don't want God's hand to be against you. You want God's hand to be on you. Ezekiel 1:3, Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. He gave him a vision. Again, Ezekiel 8:1. The hand of the Lord fell upon him. He gave him a vision. The hand of the Lord was upon him in 8:31. Again, the hand of the Lord is not the hand, your hand, their power. God's power is his hand. The Bible says in Psalm 104, these all wait for you that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they may gather. You open your hand, and they are filled with good. God gives us good from his hand. The Bible says in John chapter 10, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. His hand is our security. The Bible says that God is, his hand is our security, our strength. He upholds us. He blesses us. He honors us. He moves stuff out of the way for us. I did the chapel for the Seahawks this morning, and I did this message for them. And right after I did this message, one of the guys ran out the room and came back with this book. He says, I got it. He says, I went to the bookstore, and the lady just said, you got to have this, and gave it to me for free. I was like, we ain't doing that today, okay? I ain't that nice. When we left the chapel, the police escort the buses to the stadium. It's like four cops on motorcycles. And I love this one when they used to do this. They only did it for us as the Chargers my first year, which was our last year in the playoffs. After that, they didn't do it anymore. Just a playoff thing. So we're driving, and I happened to drive out behind the bus. So the cops thought I was with them. I love the way they do it. They go in front, and they stop traffic, and they're like this. Everybody's got to stop. The light's red. They're waving us through. So I'm riding behind the bus going, and he keeps waving me. I'm like, all right, I'm going then. You know, I'm riding, and he keeps and just keep going through red lights, and through, everyone's got to move out of the way. And then we're getting on the ramp, and the guy, I rolled down my window, and he says, are you with them? And I'm like, yeah. I said, only halfway. I'm not going all the way to the stadium. And I left them. But you know what? The whole time they're driving, they're getting everybody out of the way. That bus is not stopping, slowing down. It's just going to go right into the stadium because of the hands of those cops. Stop. Move over. Let's go. Boom, boom. That's what you want God to do for you. That's what you want God to do for you. God's stronger than the police. You want to say, God, I want, look. I want your hand to be with me. I want your hand when I'm walking and I'm talking to people. I want you to just do like this and say, listen. You know what I'm saying? When I go in, when I'm trying to get someplace and I'm late, get the lights. Just flick the lights. I never experienced this today. I was running to the chapel. I was trying to get there on time, and I did. But the only reason I got there on time was I never seen traffic lights do this. At least I haven't. Maybe you have. I'm driving, and lights green. As I approach it, it turns this quick. Yellow, red, green. And has anybody ever seen that? I mean, I'm on Mira Mesa Boulevard, right? It goes yellow, red, green. I'm like, that was a trip. So I think God just went beep, beep. He just pressed the button three times, right? So I just go right through. Next light, yellow, red, green. So I get to the third light, and I'm like, I'm not even slowing down this time. I'm speeding up. Whoa! It went yellow, red. I'm like, ah! God, I want your hand to be with me. God, you know all the stuff I got going on in my life, all the stuff you got me doing, you do it. You do it. All the stuff in your life that's going on, God, you do it. Whatever you want to do. And look at the last verse. This is the best part. Well, I have to go through one real quick. It's two of them. It says, you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. That God would not only keep you away from doing evil. The Bible, in the Lord's Prayer, do not lead me into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That you would say, God, keep evil away from me. When I was in Charlotte for the crusade, two nights I was in a hotel, I had nightmares. And the nightmare was that I was, you ever be laying in bed and you're half awake and you're half asleep and someone's trying to talk to you and you're like, and you can't get out of that funk. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you're just like being tormented. You're like someone just gave you all kind of acid and heroin all at the same time. Two nights I'm laying in my bed and I'm having a dream that I'm half awake like that and there are people in my room. And I was petrified. I mean, I was scared because I couldn't get up to run, fight them, jump out the window, call the maid, whatever. And I'm like, ah, and I'm in my seat going, ah. It was the devil. Devil just messed with me. God, keep me away from me. Keep that junk away from me. Keep that junk away from my family, away from my wife, my kids. Keep away from y'all. Temptation. We all know what we're tempted with. Temptation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, he's talking to Cain, who killed Abel. He says, if you do well, if you do the right thing, I'll forgive you. But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Temptation. Come on out. Let me in. Whether it be women, sexual temptation, man or women, whether it be drugs, whether it be money, whether it be pride, whatever it is, it's always there. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Keep that away from me. I don't want, don't come near me. Don't call me up. It's always like that. But look what it says in the last part, and I just want to end with this. It says, God granted him what he requested. Woo-wee! God gave it to him. Hold up. God, I'm praying according to your word now. If you gave it to him, you got to give it to me. That's right. If I'm being honorable, says he was honorable, I'm going to seek God, do my best to be a holy man. I know the sin in my life. We know the sin in our life, don't we? Amen. We know the sin in our life. God, I'm dealing with my sin. I'm dealing with my shortcomings, my doubt, my lack of faith, my issues. I'm praying. I'm humbling myself before you. Please bless me. And if you bless him, you got to bless me. God says, cool. You're reading your Bible. You're paying attention. Here you go. Bam. Solomon. What do you tell Solomon? Solomon, ask anything you want. Solomon, ask anything you want. You know what Solomon said? Give me wisdom. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God said in 1 Kings chapter 3, if you want to read it later, 1 Kings 3, he says, because you haven't asked for money, and because you haven't asked to be, you know, dominant over your enemies and feeding me to destroy your enemies, I'm going to give you all of that. And you know what the Bible says? Solomon was the richest man ever to live. How did he get money? He didn't ask for it. He just prayed for God to bless him, give him wisdom. He gave him 1,000 wives. That brother had to have money, you know what I'm saying? And wisdom. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines, same thing. He had 1,000 women, built houses for him. The guy gave him wisdom. God gave him wisdom. God says in Jeremiah 33, call to me. Listen to what he says. Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know. I want to know everyday stuff I don't know. Don't you? Wouldn't you love for God to say, hey, you want to know some secret? Yeah. Well, he says, if you just call me, I'll tell you. Call to me. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord, run to and fro throughout the earth looking for someone who's loyal. Why? So he can show himself strong on their behalf. God's like, look, walk around. I asked you before, did you know who Gigantor is? You all know Gigantor. Anybody remember who Gigantor is? Oh, us old people know Gigantor. Y'all young people, y'all have no good cartoons these days. Gigantor was like a robot, and he was just big and strong, and he would just go, Gigantor, and he would just go, whoosh, right into the air. He was powerful. He was bad. He was a bad dude. This is like 30 years ago. God wants to be Gigantor. That if you're loyal, God says, here's power. Whoosh. Here's strength. Whoosh. Here's mighty, mighty power. Mighty, mighty enabling power. Boom. He's looking for a candidate. But all he sees is, oh, these little lukewarm, got no faith, doubting, skeptical, wannabe Christians. Ah! I need someone who believes. Because if I'm God, I want to show off my power. Then I get glory. God is glorified through his miracles, through his people who are faithful. The Bible says in James 5, and I'll end with this verse, I think. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced fruit. Oh, that can't ever happen for me. It won't. It won't, because you don't believe, and you would never ask. But you know what? I ain't dying not asking. I ain't dying not asking. You got to say, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to enlarge my territory, increase my influence, give me a ministry for my neighborhood. Wherever you live, do this when you go home. And look around and say, God, use me to minister to all these peoples and no limitation what you want to do. Do that. Drive around your neighborhood and pray for your neighborhood. Or, what does that mean? Lord, bless them. Lord, get them saved. Lord, show me what to do. Lord, protect them. Whatever you want to pray. God, use me. Whatever you want to do. Here's your homework. Your homework is this. If you have your bulletin, there's a little note thing in there for stonework. Write this down. Your homework is to memorize this verse, 1 Chronicles 4:10, and pray that prayer every day. Just pray the prayer every day. Pray the prayer every day. Pray the prayer every day. And I'm going to ask you as you're praying that prayer to include in the building, Lord, increase our enlarge our territory, increase our borders. Give us a place we can do ministry. Amen? Amen. The book is out there in the bookstore, and as you walk all the way out, there are tables out there with this book. Please go get one. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we as a body, as a family, need your blessing. We are building your kingdom, and we can't do it with our weapons, our tools, our resources. We need your blessing. So we pray, Lord, that you would bless us, enlarge our territory, that your hand would be with us, keep evil far from us. Lord, we don't want to cause people pain. Lord, we pray for this building, that you would grant us that building your way. We don't even want to ask for a certain price. We don't want to ask for certain conditions. We pray that you would do it your way. But Lord, if you have bigger borders for us somewhere else, we want that. We only want what you want, but we want it according to your blessing and your power, not our wisdom, not our understanding. We don't want to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, we want to acknowledge your understanding and your power. Lord, I pray that every person in here would pray this prayer this week and open their eyes that they may see that your blessing, that they may see you do things, even the little things. They're going to have friends this week come up and ask them about God. They may see that that is a blessing, a miracle. Lord, I pray you give them a vision for their life, that they would not limit what you want to do through them and in them and around them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.